worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. If he's done anything for you, he's worthy. And he's done something for all of us. Got us up this morning. Started us on our way. He's worthy to be praised. Giving honor to the Spirit of God in this place. God, our Father, who is so kind and gracious and loving and merciful, has blessed us another opportunity to gather together for worship. And for that, I'm grateful. To these, my cleric colleagues who have been a part of this worship experience, I'm grateful. To these musicians who have played for us, and to this choir that has serenaded us with the melodious songs of Zion, I'm grateful. People don't mind a lot of things, but going through is usually not one of them. You have to be conditioned to do that. Amen. You're only willing to go through when you've been conditioned. And only God can condition us. Amen. And he conditions us on the battlefield we call life. Every day, somewhere, in our home, on a job, in our community, and sometimes even in our minds, he conditions us. God is all right. From the scripture read earlier from the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, in its entirety, but for our textual reference, verses 6 through 9. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, verses 6 through 9. According to the Recovery Bible rendering, you'll find these words: I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth. So then, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's cultivated land, God's building, the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, to give us a gospel message, a message of his death, burial, and resurrection. One that shows your grace and your mercy, even in the midst of who we are and how we are. Lord, the truth is, Lord, you are gracious and merciful. And if it were not for your grace and mercy, many of us, all of us, wouldn't be here right now. So we say thank you, Lord. We ask now, God, your blessings upon the preaching of your word. No word can go forward without you. No message can be preached without power if you're not in it. So I invite you to be a part of this preaching moment. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, let the church say, amen. Sisters and brothers, a couple of years ago, while flying from Orlando, Florida, back to North Carolina, waiting for departure, I heard the Lord speak a word. And on yesterday, while I was flying back from Miami, Florida, I heard the Spirit say the same word. So I want to share that word with you today, speaking from the subject, get ready for takeoff. Get ready for takeoff. The Apostle Paul had established, thank you, ushers, the Apostle Paul had established the church in the Greek city of Corinth on his second missionary journey. But things had begun to go very badly shortly after his departure. So Paul felt it necessary to write them concerning the many problems that had arisen and were now being told to him by Chloe and her people. There were some in this church challenging his apostleship or his pastorate. Others were abusing the Lord's Supper by eating meat sacrificed to idols. Some were going to court against one another. Some were condoning the immorality in their midst. Some were denying the resurrection. And some were arguing about marriage, to name a few of the problems. So Paul felt he had to deal with the situation. Unless everything he established in Corinth, especially the church, fell to pieces. As Paul systematically goes through these problems, he touches upon many of the fundamental teachings of the faith of the Christian church. Paul's major purpose in writing this letter was to correct some glaring abuses in the church and highlight the importance of how people lived every day. Christianity, he writes, is a walking, doing, and being religion, more than it is a saying, singing, and dancing religion. It's more about your character than it is about what gifts or talents you may possess. And it's more about living a life of service and sacrifice than it is about abundance and having things. It was not enough just to say that we are Christians. We must also behave like Christians. It's not enough to claim membership with the church. We must also live like the church is within us. It's not enough to identify with a church leader like a bishop, a pastor, an apostle, or an evangelist. We must also identify with the God who the bishop, the pastor, the apostle, and the evangelist preaches about. Anytime we do not do so, it brings dishonor upon the name of Jesus Christ and calls our faith into question. Perhaps you are wondering, what happened to the church at Corinth? Well, I'll tell you. They took their eyes off of Christ and focused on Paul. They took their eyes off of Christ and focused on Apollos. They took their eyes off of Christ and focused on Peter. They took their eyes off of Christ and started focusing on men and women, sisters and brothers. Anytime people in a church take their eyes off of Christ, they will end up with or in a mess because they will become messy. they took their eyes off of Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example of Christianity. That is why the author of Hebrews wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Paul here is teaching about divine Christian relationship lessons. So he opens with his usual greeting and well wishes, but he has something important to say, something revolutionary and something uplifting. He knows that if they will just listen and accept the spiritual reality of his message, there is no height to which they cannot climb as a community. They had all the gifts, but something was missing. And they had all the talents, but something was missing, and you could tell it by their divisiveness. They were divided. Do I have a witness in here? He was writing to this church. He wants them and us to know that the same spirit that gifted Paul gifted Apollos. The same spirit that gifted Apollos gifted Peter. The same spirit that gifted John gifted James. They were not on opposing teams. They were on the same team. And each of them had an assignment from God like us. Paul was a planter. Apollos was one who watered, but at the end of the ministry day, it's still in God's hand when it comes to growth, increase, and taking off, if you will. Do I have a witness in here? To plant, to water, and to cause to grow are related in the same matter. This indicates that believers are God's cultivated land. And what should be growing on and in that land is Jesus Christ. That is why Peter wrote, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ministers of Christ can only plant and water, but God can only cause the growth. The Corinthian believers overestimated and overesteemed the planter and the waterer and neglected the one who causes the growth. As a result, they did not grow Christ in their lives. Isn't that right? My sisters and brothers, as far as growth is concerned, all the ministers of Christ, whether planters or waterers, are nothing. But God is everything. We must always keep our eye on him. This will deliver us from the divisiveness of preferring one over another. When we take our eyes off of Christ, churches get messed up. Ministries get messed up. Families get messed up. And people get messed up when they take their eyes off of him. Corinthians took their eyes off of Christ. As a result, they were immature. They were babies in Christ. They were acting like it too. They were going around probably like people do today, talking about how they were anointed, who was anointed, and how far they had advanced in the Lord. But in our text, Paul lets them know that the signs of spiritual immaturity is envy, jealousy, strife, and division, which they were experiencing. Isn't that right? Instead of being together in a loving, united community, they were divided over petty things like who was anointed and who was not. Who could preach the best, Apollos or Paul? Who had the best sermon delivery? Can you hear them? Paul sure is a good teacher, but Apollos can hoop it up. Paul's a good preacher, but Peter can pray the house down. Is there a witness in this house today? But no Christian, no church, or no ministry can experience all that God has for them, or if we are divided, suffering from envy, jealous over each other, and hateful of one another. This church was divided. They were separated. They were split. And they were acting like they were on opposing teams. Isn't that right? You want to stay on the ground and never take off. That's the way to do it. Be divided over pettiness. So Paul was moved. Paul was motivated. And Paul was concerned about what he was now hearing about their fellowship. It seemed like Satan had gotten in and begun to divide them over little or nothing. And isn't that how the devil works? When you get to the bottom of it all, people will be divided over nothing. They lost sight of who God was and what God did and how God worked. They took their eyes off the prize and instead started identifying with who they like and who could preach better and who could sing better and who could play better and who could shout better and who could pray better and who had the best testimony. So Paul was moved, was motivated to address this foolishness that was dividing this church. My brothers and sisters, God is always trying to address what ails his church. Isn't that right? Paul had to get the record straight. Sisters and brothers, it's never about us. It's always about God. If God does not make it happen, it's not happening. If God doesn't make it grow, it's not growing. And if God doesn't make it take off, it's not going to take off. Do I have a witness here? When we realize that it's God who makes things happen, that is when we are ready for takeoff. I don't care how well we preach or teach. I don't care how anointed we think we are or someone else is. If it's going to increase, grow, or take off, God is going to have to do it. Can I get a witness? We are living in an era of the church when everybody wants increase. People, preachers develop messages about increase. Others build ministries around increase. People pack conference centers to hear about increase. And the truth is, some folk come to church hoping to hear about increase. There is a preacher who I've listened to over the years. And I don't care where he starts in the Bible, Genesis or Revelation or anywhere in between. When he gets done, he's going to be talking about increase. You got it. But my sisters and brothers, some people plant and water and then wonder why there is no increase. Well, I stop by here to tell you, you can do all the planting and watering that you want, but if God doesn't move, there won't be an increase. Is that right? But if you have taken off, don't get it twisted. If you're flying, you're not flying on your own. If you're sailing, you're just riding the wind that you didn't create, and you can't control it. You're just riding the wind. And the last time I checked, God was in control of the wind. The last time I checked, God was on the throne. The last time I checked, man didn't know where wind came from or where it was going. The last time I checked, God made the sun rise. The last time I checked, God called the rain to fall. And the last time I checked, the summers were right. The earth eared the Lord. And the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. The last time I checked, the hymn writer was right. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand hath made,
I see the star. I hear the rolling thunder. Thou powerful throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great that, how great that. Then sing my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great that, how great that. Ain't the Lord all right? But even though God is in control, Paul says we also have a responsibility. If you want to take off, you must first begin with planning. What are we planning? Hopefully the word of God, that Christ may grow in us. If we are watering, hopefully it's with the word, so that the Holy Spirit can guide us. Because if we expect to take off personally or as a community, we need the word. Do I have a witness? So plant the word, sow the word, and hide the word in your heart, and then get ready for takeoff. Ain't God all right? It took the word to start this community, this church, this fellowship of faith. And it takes the word to keep the community, the church and the fellowship together. You want to tear down a church? Satan does. Take the word out of people's heart. You want to cause confusion in a church? Satan does. Take the word out of people's actions. You want to have a mess in a church? Satan does. Take the words out of the principles that govern us. Jesus said his word was the seed that fell on either good or shallow soil. You may have a constitution, but keep the word. You may have bylaws, but keep the word. You may follow Robert's rules of order, but keep the word. You may like parliamentary procedures, but keep the word of God first. You'll stay together, and everything will turn out just fine. Secondly, you've got to water what is planted. Water, preacher, yes, water. Water is essential. Water is necessary. Water is crucial. You've got to have some water. Am I right about it? You've got to have some water. And sisters and brothers, in scripture, the image of the Holy Ghost is a same as water. So you've got to have some water on it. But you also need some water in it. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Born of the water. And born of the Spirit. In other words, you've got to have God's Spirit on it. But you also got to have God's Spirit in it. If it's going to take off. Isn't that right? Well, Paul was under attack. They attacked his character. They falsely accused him. They attacked his preaching. They said he wasn't as good as Apollos. They attacked his apostleship. And they said it paled in comparison and was inferior to Peter's. Sisters and brothers, they attacked him. But I heard the Lord said, there's a dual message here. Yes, you've got a plan. Yes, you've got a water. And God has to give the increase. But there's something else that you need if you want to take off. A few years ago, there was a plane crash at Charlotte Douglas Airport. The FAA did an investigation and they concluded that the plane was overloaded with too much baggage. I stopped by here to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're jealous of others, you got too much baggage. If you're envious of others, you've got too much baggage. If there's bitterness in your heart, you've got too much baggage. If you are hateful and vindictive, you've got too much baggage. If you harbor unforgiveness, you've got too much baggage. And if you're judgmental in spirit, you've got too much baggage. Somebody in here right now has got too much baggage. But I heard God say, get ready for takeoff. That there's a dual message here. Paul preaches unity. But God also wants us to know that we need some opposition. If we are going to take off, we need an opposing force to get us off of the ground. Do I have a witness here? One thing that I learned while working for Delta Security at the airlines in Atlanta, that if a plane is going to take off, it has to do so while flying into the wind. In other words, the plane needs to fly with something pushing against it. It needs an opposing force, something pressing against it, if it's going to take off. Is that right? All planes take off flying into the wind, which is how they get enough lift to get off the ground. They must go against a headwind. And sisters and brothers, Christians today want to fly or take off, but they don't want any opposition. People want to fly and take off, but they don't want no hardships. People want to fly and take off, but they don't want no difficulties. And they want to fly and take off only with sunshiny days. But I stopped by here to tell you, the headwinds are rough and they may get tough, but you need it if you're going to take off. So God allows us to struggle to get us ready for takeoff. God allows difficulties in our life to get us ready for takeoff. God allows trouble to come our way to get us ready for takeoff. And God allows trials and tribulations to knock at our door to get us ready for takeoff. If we could, all of us would take off when we want to. But we must first receive orders from the flight control tower. We can't just take off. We need God's help and we need God's commission. Do I have a witness? Can you imagine if everybody took off at the same time? Oh no, my sisters and brothers, as children of God, we gotta get the orders from the flight tower. But in the meantime, we're just taxiing over to the runway, preparing for takeoff. Yes, taxiing. Setbacks and confusion. Taxiing. Disappointments and delays. Taxiing. Doors closed in our face. Taxiing. Do I have a witness? God's getting us ready for the takeoff. Well, I've held you too long. But I once heard a story about a little boy was out in the backyard and he saw a cocoon. While looking at the cocoon, it began to move. You see, the caterpillar had gone through its metamorphosis and had turned into a butterfly. And the butterfly was now trying to break out of the cocoon. He watched for a long time. And he said, it's taken too long. And I believe the caterpillar needs a little help. Or the butterfly needs some help. So he tore open the cocoon to help the caterpillar or the butterfly get out. But the butterfly died and never took off. So the little boy asked his father, why was it that the butterfly did not take off after I had helped it? And his father said, well, son, while the butterfly is in the cocoon and fighting to get out, the struggle helps to strengthen its wings so that by the time it emerges, its wings are strong enough and it can take off. So my sisters and brothers, I stop by here to tell you, if the winds of adversity are blowing in your life, get ready for takeoff. If people are putting you down, get ready for takeoff. If folks are running you down, get ready for takeoff. If they falsely accuse you, get ready for takeoff. If they gossip and lie on you, get ready for takeoff. If they criticize you, get ready for takeoff. Your testimony might be Satan's been rather busy, but get ready for takeoff. Problems on the job, get ready for takeoff. Problems in my life, get ready for takeoff. Problems in my home, get ready for takeoff. Problems in my relationship, get ready for takeoff. How do you know, preacher? Because before Canaan, there was an Egypt land. Before Joseph went to the palace, there was a pit and a prison. Before being anointed king, David's testimony was, I was a lonely shepherd. Before we reached the promised land, we gotta go through the wilderness. Before our oasis, we gotta travel through the desert. Before we get our healing, sometimes we're hurting. Before we get power, sometimes we got to endure pain. Before joy coming in the morning, sorrow will be in the midnight hour. Before the light of day, we got to go through the night. And before we get to heaven, sometimes we got to go through hell. That's why the songwriter wrote, I know my robe is going to fit nowhere, because I tried it on at the gates of hell. In the meantime, we're just taxiing. Jesus, sisters and brothers, knew something about taxiing. Arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, taxiing. Tried in a Jewish courthouse, taxiing. Condemned by Pilate, taxiing. Hung on Calvary cross, taxiing. In a borrowed tomb, taxing. Went to hell and preached the gospel, taxing. Laid there all Friday night, taxing. All day Saturday, taxing. All night Saturday, taxing. But Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand and took off. I don't know about you, but he been too good for me not to praise his name. He been too good for me not to give him glory. He's been too good for me to fold my arms. He's been too good for me to pout my lips. He's been too good for me to be jealous. He's been too good for me to be envious. He's been too good for me not to bless a name. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? Has he been good to you? Say he's been good. He's been mighty good. Ain't he all right? Sisters and brothers, are you ready? Ready for takeoff? If you got jealousy, it will keep you from taking off. Envy will keep you from taking off. Hatred will keep you from taking off. Bitterness will keep you from taking off. Sowing seeds of discord will keep you from taking off. But if you have love in your heart, you're ready for takeoff. If you can forgive others, you're ready for takeoff. If you put God first, you're ready for takeoff. If you treat folk like you want to be treated, you're ready for takeoff. If you let God lead you, you're ready for takeoff. If you no respect a person, you're ready for takeoff. But when you take off, just remember it was God's doing. So give him the glory. When you take off, remember it was God that brought you out. When you take off, remember it was God that kept you. When you take off, remember like the psalmist, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. When you take off, my sisters and brothers, you got one more flight to take. And depending on your relationship with God and with one another will determine your destination. So my sisters and brothers, I'm walking so I can take off. I'm living so I can take off. Ain't it all right? I'm doing my best so that I can take off. I'm walking so I can take off. I'm doing what I can so one day I'll be able to say the hymn writer would write some glad morning when their life is over. Fly away to my home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away when the shadows of this life are gone. I'll fly away like a bird from prison bars have flown. I'll fly away just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to my home where joy shall never end. Fly away. Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Has it been good? Yeah! 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 Hey! He's all right! He's all right! He's all right! He's all right! What you doing, preacher?
I'm practicing! Because when I get to glory, I'm gonna sing and shout. Nobody there. Nobody there.
Hey.
Thank you. 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 Thank you.
Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for takeoff. Keep your eye on the Lord. Keep the word in your heart. Keep following him and get ready for takeoff. There's an old song that I heard some years ago that simply go, oh, it's in my veins, it's in my veins. While the blood running warm in my vein, always in my vein, in my vein, while the blood